Chapter 21. The host, a youngish man with a friendly smile, met me at the door of the Wildwood. "Mrs. McNeil?" he asked. "I recognize you from the description Mr. Riley gave. Follow me. He's waiting for you." Ken rose as I approached the table. Tonight he wore a blue button-down the front shirt, western jeans that snugly fit his slim build, and expensive-looking cowboy boots. I smiled as I sat down. "We match," I said, motioning from my blue dress to his shirt. "You know what they say about great minds," he answered. "You look really nice, Miss Ned." "You can drop the miss, Ken. It's good to see you under more pleasant circumstances this time." "Yes, that's for sure. Let's order. Then I'd like to talk to you about what's probably uppermost on both our minds. I trust you. Out of all the people involved in Miss Evangeline's passing, and I know you'd like to see justice done. You see, I have a small confession to make, and I want you to know what I'm going to do about it." He motioned the waiter, who suggested a house specialty, a lettuce, tomato, and cucumber salad, to get us started. Confession? This sounded ominous. Ken looked as if he hadn't been sleeping well. His cheeks were hollow, and maybe it was the dim lighting, but he seemed pale. Glancing around the room, I wondered if Cade was one of the diners. I had not a doubt that he was keeping an eye on me. He agreed much too easily to my meeting Ken, who he considered a suspect. Or maybe he wasn't a diner but was hiding behind a potted plant. The thought caused me to giggle. "Have I missed a joke?" Ken asked. "Sorry if I haven't been listening." "No," I said, gazing appreciatively at the salad the waiter set before me. "I didn't say anything funny. I was just thinking." "I'm glad one of us is in a good mood," Ken said. After the salad, Ken ordered tenderloin tips, and I decided on chicken. The hot rolls were homemade, feathery light and buttery. The coffee was fresh ground. I found myself enjoying the meal a lot. Ken was an interesting conversationalist, keeping me amused with stories of Miss Evangeline's horses and their different personalities. "They are just like humans," he said. "Some mornings something has ticked them off and they're grouchy. Some days they are just full of fun and devilish tricks. I can tell their moods by looking into their eyes and watching their ears." I swallowed a bit of food. "Watching their ears?" "Yes. Ears pricked forward are a sign of fair weather, so to speak. One ear forward and one ear back is a warning sign, and two ears laid back, well, forget about riding a horse who looks like that." "You know so much about horses," I said. "I'm curious, how did you come to be working at Carver Farms? Are you a native of Edna Lee?" He shook his head. "No, I'm from Kentucky, actually. My mom and Miss Evangeline were friends when they were girls. Mom fell in love with a Kentucky boy who had racing in his blood. So that's how I came to be out there. I had a great childhood. We had horses on our farm, and I learned a lot from my dad. Then Dad died, and Mom and I moved into town. Mom, I'm sorry to say, has Alzheimer's now, and is in a facility for Alzheimer's patients. We didn't have a lot of money while I was growing up, but there was always enough. She managed to send me to the university, and when I graduated, I was sort of at loose ends. Didn't know what I wanted to do. Miss Evangeline phoned Mom, asked her if I'd be interested in a job helping with her horses, and here I am." An interesting story. So even though Judson Carver was a tough old man foreclosing on widows, his daughter had a soft spot for helping people. Those relatives who had shown up penniless, as well as the son of her friend. Miss Evangeline could have turned a blind eye, but she didn't. This was a good sign, reinforcing my instinctive liking for her. Ken motioned for the waiter to refill our coffee cups. Ned, I haven't been exactly honest with you. I need to talk about the night I found Miss Evangeline." A small prickle began at the base of my neck. I took a sip of coffee and waited for him to continue. "I found Miss Evangeline just like I told you. From the way the ground was torn up, I knew that Melanie had probably bucked her off and she fell on those rocks. But there's something else." My mouth went dry. "She was on her face when I found her, and she... Well, Ned, she was breathing. Not much, but she was still barely alive. The back of her head was all bloody and hurt. The back of it, Ned, not the front. I knelt down beside her, calling her name, and as gently as I could, I turned her over. My breath caught in my throat. Tears burned my eyes. Ken, she was alive? Why didn't you call for help? He shook his head. There wasn't time. She opened her eyes and looked at me. I took her hand and she said, I held my breath while he swallowed and wiped tears from his eyes. She said, I'm sorry, and then closed her eyes, took one long breath, and she was gone. I sat with her until I knew for sure she was dead. Then I came and told you all. I was afraid to say anything at first, afraid I'd be considered a suspect. That's the truth. I wanted you to hear it from me, 'cause I'm pretty sure the sheriff and Cade Morris and Doc Gormley have figured out a few things. I know it looks bad for me. Oh, Ken, I said, why didn't you tell the sheriff right away? Because you didn't say anything, and you were the one who found her. It makes you look guilty. But why would I kill anybody as nice as Miss Evangeline? I swear to you, Ned, that I didn't kill her. Somebody did, and I intend to find out who. But it wasn't me.